Welcome to this edition of the Vanderbilt Health and Wellness Wellcast. I'm Bridget Butler with Health Plus. Today, our guest is Dr. Sherry Barkin, who is the William K. Warren Endowed Professor and Chief of General Pediatrics at Vanderbilt Medical Center. Welcome, Dr. Barkin, and thank you for joining us today.
Thank you. So happy to be here.
Dr. Barkin, you've said before that we are designed to be a social species and that we survive because we're connected to each other. I think we've all realized at this point how true that is. And it's also easy to notice that our social experiences and how we connect with each other has changed. We're finding ourselves exploring what it looks like and what it feels like to interact with one another again. Can you explain what social reintegration means and how this personally affects us?
Well, you said it really well, that we're designed to be a social species. That means it's actually in our DNA, it's in our anatomy, how our brains function, it's in our physiology and what it means to be healthy in terms of our mental health and physical health. And we were then thrust into the pandemic and social unrest, and these things together created a disruption to our social connection. It's so important. What it is to be human is what we mean to each other, and that is about connecting to people and really connecting to them in real life. So when we talk about this notion of social reintegration, we are in a much better place now, not perfect, but better. This allows us, because of so many medical advancements, such as the vaccine and other things, to actually now begin to reintegrate in real life with real people. And that process sounds like it's simple. It sounds like it's just the simple flip of a switch, but it isn't. And it isn't, because all of these elements have created a disruption in our sociology and physiology. So reintegration is the notion that it's time for us to learn or relearn how to connect in deep ways in real life with each other.
It sounds like we're going to be experiencing it just a little bit differently now. As adults, what challenges do we experience with social situations at this point?
Well, I think the first one is, again, sort of wired in our brain, is this a safe situation? And the first thing that happens, and it might not even be slow and intentional, it might be automatic at this point, is, do I feel safe? Is this the right environment to be in? If I were to put myself in that environment, am I affecting my health, my family's health, the people that I work with, the people in my community? And I think because that's our knee-jerk reaction, it creates cortisol cascade, creates a lot of stress and anxiety. So that's a big challenge, is slowing it down, that automaticity, and saying, all right, wait a minute, am I safe? And the answer might be different now than it was a year ago. In fact, it should be, depending on context. I think the other piece about that is, how do I do this? Now, some people, if you're an extrovert, and I'm a big extrovert, I am so excited that I might enter into a conversation and just completely overwhelm you with all of my deep interest and questions for you. So my reintegration approach is being mindful to turn that down so that it's slow and steady. Whereas if you're wired more as an introvert, your first reaction might be, I don't know if I want to do this. It's going to take a lot of energy. Or I would like to reintegrate, but I'm not exactly sure even how, in a social situation where I'm going to get started with conversation. We're kind of out of practice with that on all ends of that spectrum and in between.
How about children and families collectively? What are children and families experiencing?
I see this a lot in our clinic. It depends on the age. It depends on whether you're a COVID baby or not. So I'm actually going to start with our littlest people that are COVID babies. And in fact, when I meet people in the clinic, they'll say, this is my COVID baby. And they're not a baby anymore. They're a toddler. And this toddler's experience is really uniquely different than the toddlers that were pre-COVID. They haven't interacted with a lot of other children. They aren't really sure how to interact. that's something really critical that you're learning how to do in infancy, toddlerhood, preschool period, is that social emotional learning. It doesn't end after that. We're all still involved in our own social emotional learning throughout our lives. But it's really exceptionally important because it builds a foundation of how you interact with people and expectations of what social norms are and communication and behaviors are. So for our youngest children, this is an incredibly challenging place. And families are asking us, how can I socialize my kids who really have not ever experienced a normal, I'm putting normal in quotes, social contacts. As children are older, if they have experienced being in a school setting or being on a sports team, which maybe they didn't go out for because of the COVID context, they're really craving that connection and craving that structure. And so for them, there's an affinity to be back in that space. They too need to sort of reintegrate and understand what are social norms and behaviors that are acceptable in a variety of situations. And then we move to adults and families. And families have had to be everything to their children. So not only a parent, but in many cases, a teacher and maybe even a mental counselor. And the parents are the classic multi-hyphenate in coming out of COVID. And that means that they are, depending on how you feel and sort of your natural inclination about how you're interacting, you might, as a parent, feel like, I'm not sure how to get back into this world and what is available to me. So it's experienced, I think, differently at all different ages, depending on your prior experience and what your expectations of today are.
That's excellent points. What is important to consider that may help us feel motivated and comfortable to reintegrate?
Well, I think I want to reemphasize that something you started with, Bridget, and that is the value of social connection. So social connection improves depending on the people that you're connecting with. So big caveat here. So imagine your favorite people that you're connecting with. It improves your mood. It reduces depression and anxiety, turning the volume down. It improves your memory. It improves your ability to learn. And then if you look at the level of your functioning, it improves your immune functioning, as well as many other metabolic health pathways. So in so many ways, strong, positive social connection is the best treatment around for a lot of the things that are ailing us right now.
That's very motivating. And what actionable steps can we take while deciding when and how to reintegrate with our different social circles?
Great. So I'm just going to throw these things into the toolkit, recognizing that it's different for everybody. So here are just some tools, and you all decide how to use them and what's meaningful to you. The first tool is deciding what you're comfortable with. And that means paying attention to context and the latest information and evidence. We live in a world that's uncertain. It's not that it was certain before, it just felt more certain than it does now. And so paying attention and deciding what you and your family are comfortable with, recognizing that the context is shifting and changing. The second thing is to be intentional. So by being intentional, you can identify something that is motivating to you and your family or the people that you love. So for some people, that might be setting up a play date, or it might be going on a picnic with one neighborhood family. It might be gathering up if you have musicians in your life, or bringing along your guitar or harmonica or kazoo and sitting outside, but being intentional and playful and creative, where you feel like you're controlling the environment a bit, but inviting at least one other person, family, into that circle. The third thing is to be proactive. So I encourage you, I challenge all of us to just reach out to one person that we haven't seen for a while that we really enjoy, and making that connection. I know we feel like people should reach out to us, and that's true. On the other end of that, we need to do the reaching out. So even if we can reach out to one person that we haven't spoken with for a while and find an opportunity maybe to go hiking or biking or have a conversation on a rocking chair outside or in the grass, that intentionality plus proactivity, you'll see that you'll get an immediate boost from that. The fourth thing is to stay flexible. We know that everyone's lives are chaotic right now and unpredictable. So you might plan something, it might fall through. Don't worry about it. Let it go. Try again. And the fifth thing that I recommend is practicing random acts of kindness. So a random act of kindness that connects you to somebody, it might be somebody that you know or somebody that you don't know, but it really highlights and underscores what it is to be truly human, what we mean to each other, and bringing out the best of humanity. So that could look like a lot of things. That could be if you're at the on campus, it might be going to a Susie's and getting a gift card and giving it to somebody randomly to make their day. It might be bringing food to a sick colleague. It could be volunteering. Some of my favorite places to volunteer, the Nashville Food Project, Second Harvest, Faith Farms, where you're outside and you're actually, I'm not a farmer, but I do like that kind of connection to the earth. And maybe even reading to young children. I recently became a Book'em volunteer. So things that allow you to connect with other people that you don't even know, where you're able to see really the best of humanity and bring that out in yourself, recognizing who we are to each other, is what makes us truly human.
That's wonderful. Thank you so much for outlining some very actionable steps that we can take to motivate and to begin to socially reintegrate. We really appreciate you joining us today, Dr. Barkin.
Thank you so much for this opportunity.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. If you have a story suggestion, use the Contact Us page on our website at www.vumc.org/health-wellness.